I do want to turn your attention this afternoon back to the issue of dealing with those in authority over you when they sin against you and when they make things hard. The title of the booklet is Authority Issues When It's Hard Being Told What to Do. We've looked at what the Bible has to say about that whole condition, and then most recently been looking at how to change your own thought process about that and internal responses to suffering under the hands of an authority that is unjust. There are some godly responses as well that Robert Smith puts forward as a nice outline that I'm going to follow and develop a little bit to talk about responses to authorities when they sin against you. And the first point is to set in your heart to be an example of a godly response. I'm reminded of I'm reminded of how Daniel in captivity with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was singled out with a number of the other captive young men for special treatment. And that special treatment included fine foods and food sacrificed to idols. And that eating that food sacrificed to idols for them would have been sinful. It was against the Jewish not just codes, but the Jewish expression of faith. And it says in Daniel that they determined beforehand not to defile themselves. Now, for some of you, you are not yet in a work situation where this might come about. And some of you are in very good work situations. Some of you are your own bosses. But I'm going to make a safe guess that at some point in your life, that in your work situation or in a community situation, that you're going to run into an authority figure that you have responsibility to, and there's going to be a major clash. That's just part of living in a fallen world. It can happen even when you have Christian bosses, that there can be a clash or injustice that takes place. A lot of you are in the workforce, and I know that some of you have already, even as not being very far along in the workforce, you've already experienced some hardship with authorities. Even now, if you have not, or if you're in the midst of that, praying and asking God to make you an example of a godly response will also cover the specifics that we come into. But determining beforehand or determining now to respond in a godly fashion is a very important step. It is internal, but it transitions to external because it has in mind how you react and what that reaction, how that reaction is seen or witnessed by those around you. So I have several verses to read today to consider. I'll take volunteers for reading these verses today. We'll start with Philippians 2:5. Thank you, Sam. 1 Peter 2:21. Rachel. 1 John 2:6. Emily. 1 Timothy 2:1-2. I saw Adam's hand, and then Henry, you can take 1 Peter 2:21. 2:17. And then 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 2. Mary? We'll start with those, and if we get to them, we'll go to the next. Let's hear Philippians 2, 5 to start off with.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus.
And the mind that is in you, summarize the verses before, what to...
Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Good. Which was the mind of Christ, and it's that mind that we're aiming for. 1 Peter 2, 21. Good.
For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, you take it patiently. This is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps.
Notice again the example of Christ that is being followed. And 1 John 2, 6.
He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked.
And do you know who the he is that is the example?
God
is the example, and more specifically, it's Jesus is the example. So we follow the example of Christ, who suffered not for doing evil, but for doing good. In fact, those verses that Rachel read, I am glad she backed up to verse 20, because it says, you know, if you do wrong and you suffer, that doesn't really credit you anything. That, in a sense, you deserve that. But as a Christian, if you suffer for doing what's right, then that is following the example of Christ. We often talk about our lives as a witness, or our silent witness that we have. And when I think about that, I think I tend to usually put that in the realm of positive things that I do towards others. I'm merciful towards someone else. I help them out when they're sick or when their car is broken down. I do things to help them. But these verses and what we've been talking about suggests that the way you respond when you're sinned against is also a part of your silent Christian witness. It says something about where you put your trust. If you're not submitting to the authority over you, then you're not submitting to God either. And your witness is very important to the unbeliever that's watching you, even for fellow believers as well. The author Smith suggests, just imagining this, husbands, think about what example that you're setting for your wives and your children if you're always backbiting about your boss, and you are trying to get out of or to undermine the authority over you. That's the example that you are setting towards those who are under authority to you. Or moms, think about the example that you're setting for your kids in your relationship with your husband. And if you're disrespectful towards your husband, they're learning something about how to relate to you. So there's an example that's being set by Christ that we follow, and an example that is being set by us to others around us, both believers and non-believers. And the first step is to determine beforehand to be an example of a godly response to follow after Christ. The second thing is to pray for those who are in authority over you. Who has 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2?
First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity.
Pray for those who are in authority over us. And These are Paul's instructions to Timothy, and he mentions not just those godly authorities who are over them. He mentions kings. At this point, there weren't godly kings in Israel. King Herod, well, there was a king in Israel, something of a puppet king, but he was not a godly leader. And the Roman Caesars were false gods. They thought themselves to be gods, and yet submission is due to those authorities. So pray for them. What should we pray for? I'll open it up again here. What do we pray for those in authority over us? There's a specific authority, and one that we don't have reason to believe as a believer or as a Christian, one that makes decisions that we disagree with, and yet should we pray for President Obama? Yes, we should. What should we pray? Yeah.
We pray that they would make wise decisions that would promote peace in the country. And that would promote life. We can pray that they would have good counselors and that they would listen to those who are in need.
Good.
That they would uphold the oppressed and the widows and orphans.
Yeah.
And that they would support Christianity.
Good. What else?
Can we pray for their conversion?
Yeah, it's quite all right to pray that they would be converted. Yeah. Stephanie.
Just praying that whatever's going on in their personal life, they would find peace there. Because sometimes that's a big part of what's being carried over into the work.
Pray that they'd be people of integrity.
How about the imprecatory psalms? If they are directly attacking Christians.
In fact, those type of psalms put vengeance where it belongs. It's tempting to turn to those out of a sense of personal vengeance, but you, when you read them and pray them, you'll find that it draws out the venom of the personal vengeance and leaves that in God's hands. What about things you can thank God for, even under under authorities that are hurtful?
Have we even had a job?
You could very easily be without a job and without a way to provide for yourself.
Can be thankful that even the evil of kings is under God's sovereignty.
Yeah.
God's still in control, even though the king may not want you to think that.
Yeah. Goes back to some of those internal understandings of the workings of God that are so important.
Maybe praying for ourselves that whatever God is needing to teach us through these difficult times that we would get into.
That's right. That's very good. If we believe that God is sovereign, then God has a reason even for you to be there, whether that be for your sanctification or for your witness in that situation. So to pray along those lines and to thank God for those things. I do want to have time to pray today, so I'm going to suspend there. I'm sorry we didn't get to those other verses today, but we'll pause there. You can be thinking on your own about other responses that we make towards those in authority over us.